Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Cross Church. And happy Father's Day to all the dads and father figures that are with us here today. You know, like the video we just watched earlier said, it really is a day that we get to truly honor our fathers and really all of the father figures that are in our lives. And that was a really good video. I have to thank Rhonda for finding that one. Excellent job. You know, fatherhood, being a Christian father figure, it really is a high calling. It's a heavy responsibility. And as we go through this message today, we can clearly see once again as we read this Psalm 128 and we continue on in this series called The Blessed Family. And this morning, as we heard, we're going to be focusing on verses 3 and verse 4. But let me read this short chapter to you once again this morning. And today I'm going to be reading it to you from the NIV Bible, okay? So here's what it says. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. And your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all of the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. And finally, peace be on Israel. And hey, before I forget, I wanted to make sure I mentioned, didn't the youth band and the young adults do a great job in leading us in worship these past two Sundays? Yeah, excellent. And I'm really grateful for Pastor Andrew as well for all that he taught us in this great psalm these past 2 weeks. Excellent job. Yeah, excellent, both servants. And you'll remember as he went through both of the sermons, he reminded us that this psalm really is for the entire family. It's for everyone and anyone who takes seriously in their life as a Christian, as a Christ follower. So remember, 2 weeks ago on June 7th, the focus was on the first verse, which says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, all who walk in obedience to Him. And you'll remember Pastor Andrew went through what it truly means to fear the Lord, and he used that example of the three-legged stool, remember? How it's composed of three different parts, three different legs. Number one is doctrine, truly knowing God, knowing God's real truth, knowing God's word. So we know the difference, and we don't fall prey to false teaching or just come up with our own version of truth. Number two, the experience of a Christian life, that we can truly experience the joy of the Lord in our lives as we grow in our personal relationship with Christ. And then number three was that we practice it, that we live it out, that we obey Christ. We live out His habits. This is truly fearing the Lord. And then last week, we looked at verse number two. You will eat the fruit of your labor, and blessings and prosperity will be yours. Well, we know that godly prosperity is completely opposite of what our sinful nature desires. God's work in us and through us brings true godly prosperity, which happens in a right personal relationship with Him. And we receive fulfillment in our work through Him because we ultimately do our work for Him. And we can experience the peace of Christ that surpasses all human understanding, no matter what we face in this life. This is true prosperity, that even in our suffering, and actually even more so in our suffering. And then today now, we're going to be looking again at verses 3 and 4. One more time, they say, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. and your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. Now, in the NLT version and other versions, it makes verse 4 a general statement, similar to many versions, the heading in it, or to verse 1 that says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. But here in verse 4, the original Hebrew, basically it translates this to say, blessings for the man, or blessings for the husband who fears the Lord. So the heading and verse 1 are general promises for everyone and anyone who puts their faith in Christ. It's really a good reminder that we can all learn from this today. Don't forget that. Not just fathers or father figures, but men, fathers, husbands, we have to take the extra effort to hear the message of God, God's word in this psalm. And when we fear the Lord, we see that God's blessing, it doesn't begin and end with us individually. So again, of verse 3 and 4, we see this clearly. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. So when men embrace their roles as husbands and fathers and leaders in the house, God's favor and blessing extends to their family. When men fear the Lord and take seriously their responsibilities in life as a Christian, it creates this ripple effect of blessing that flows outward. It flows into their home and beyond. Now, these examples would have been very clear in ancient times. So again, looking at verse 3, when it says a wife here is compared to a fruitful vine, well, you know, this is saying that a man who fears the Lord will be a blessing to his wife. A man who fears the Lord recognizes marriage as a long-term investment, a lifelong investment. A man who fears the Lord builds up his wife. A man who fears the Lord develops a loving and a caring relationship with his wife. And this leads to a wife who provides vitality and warmth, love, peace, and joy in their home. So to the ancient listener, a fruitful vine wasn't just another agricultural resource. It really was an ultimate symbol of a rich, joyful, deeply blessed life. And so is a wife at the very heartbeat of the family, who brings joy, real life, who produces a caring home, a safe and loving place that enhances the entire family. But you know, like any plant or any kind of a crop, a grapevine is also dependent on the care of the farmer. The vine requires intentional care, and it needs a strong support system. So if you know anything about vineyards or grapevines, you know that they grow on a trellis. And a trellis needs to be strong and supportive. It needs to provide structure. So Psalm 128, verse 3 is not just a description of a very good wife. It's really, listen, it's a report card on the husband's leadership. So her flourishing is the direct result of his reflecting God's love, fearing the Lord. And really, this is God's design, isn't it? You know, this Old Testament imagery, it perfectly aligns with the New Testament, where many of you know Apostle Paul, he writes in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, for husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and make her clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. And he did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, Paul says, she will be holy and without fault. You know, Christ Jesus, he nurtures the church so that the church can be his beautiful bride, his loving representative in this world, producing the fruit of the Spirit. And in a similar way, a godly husband has to cherish his wife. He must protect her and care for her. He has to love his wife just like Christ loves us. And if he is attentive and loving and self-sacrificing, his wife produces incredible joy for the whole household. Now, can you believe it, that this August, my wife Charlene and I, we will be married for 25 amazing years. Yes. I'm so blessed to have her as my wife. And in those 25 years, I have to admit, I have learned a lot. I've learned a lot, and I am still learning, I have to admit, for sure. You know, loving your wife really does equal learning, doesn't it? And I've learned that a man who fears the Lord doesn't just demand a fruitful wife. He must create an environment where this fruitfulness is inevitable. So please know, I am truly reminding myself here this morning, and maybe some of the other husbands here as well. Well, let's be honest, all the husbands here this morning. The man who desires a fruitful household, a joyful household, he has to diligently cultivate the environment that produces it. So if I, as a husband, if I desire a thriving, joyful wife, I have to really examine my own leadership. I have to ask myself, am I truly fearing the Lord first and foremost? Am I living it out? Am I demonstrating this to my wife? You know, the standard that God has set for husbands, how we live this out in the reality of our daily lives, it really takes some honest reflection. And it takes some serious prayer. And not just for ourselves, but for each other. And wives, pray for your husbands. You know, it's easy to wish men would just change, right? That they could just get it through their thick skulls overnight. But, you know, the most powerful thing that a wife can do to fill the gaps in their husband's life is to pray. Pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will transform each husband really into the man who fears the Lord so deeply, and that out of that comes a man who, in which loving and spiritually leading their wives really becomes just this, again, at this natural overflow. You know, pray that your husband's main motivation isn't just pleasing this world, or, you know, so often happens, just finding success in a career, but his motivation is for a healthy, profound fear of the Lord, that God will guide his decisions and he will lead his wife and lead his family to also truly fear the Lord. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. And then we read in the second part of this verse, of verse 3, it says, your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Well, that's quite an interesting picture, isn't it? Well, once again, in ancient times, you know, the olive tree was not just a plant. It was incredibly valuable. The olives and its oil met almost every fundamental need they had in the ancient world. Olive oil really was the main fuel for lamps. Olives were also a staple food. They were a good source of a healthy diet. And olive oil was even used to treat wounds, help with illnesses, soften skin, and it was even used in perfume. You know, nothing from an olive tree went to waste. The wood itself was used for beautiful high-end furniture and for high-quality tools. And, you know, olive wood is still an exotic luxury material today, as far as I understand. I read that selling the wood gets you up to 40 times the price of common lumber. And you know, olive trees really, interestingly enough, are a great comparison to raising children. Did you know that an olive tree takes around 10 to 15 years to yield a significant crop? So planting an olive tree it's really a massive investment into the future. You don't plant an olive grove to get quick cash. You plant them for long-term returns, even for your children and even for your grandchildren. And listen, once an olive tree is mature, a single grove can produce not just for a lifetime, but really for centuries. You know, this really isn't an amazing picture? This is for our family. So when Psalm 128 compares a man's children to these vigorous young olive shoots, you know, we need to see the immense value there, the long-term investment, and really the glorious legacy. A father who raises godly children isn't just managing a household. He is really cultivating the most valuable, enduring asset a society can ever really possess. That's our future leaders, our future elders, pastors, the church. Again, yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. So as we focus today on Father's Day, just as I said earlier, you know, we see clearly how a dad's godliness, how a father figure's godliness doesn't just shape his own life. It shapes the entire atmosphere of his household. And really, through his obedience to God by the power of the Holy Spirit, his life and example becomes like good soil in which his wife and his children can flourish. And again, this is no accident why this is focusing on the man or on the husband, on the father. This is God's design for family blessing. Pastor Andrew referred to Deuteronomy chapter 6 a few times in the past couple of weeks. And in this chapter, we read of our need to love and obey God. We learn of the incredibly important duty of intentionally passing on our faith to the next generation. And then we read of the warning to remain spiritually grounded day after day, generation after generation. So starting at verse 1 in chapter 6, this is what Moses says. These are the commands, the decrees, and the regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. And you must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and your grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. And if you obey all his decrees and all his commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, he says, and be careful to obey. And then in verse 7 to 9, Moses says, repeat these commandments. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed. Talk about them when you're getting up in the morning. He says, tie them around your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorposts of your house. And even write them on your gates. You know, really, this is such amazing practical advice for all of us. And once again this morning, for men. It's easy to be a passive observer as a husband, as a dad. But we need to ask God to help us truly be intentional. Every day, we need to be a spiritual guide. You know, Moses is telling to make sure our faith is alive in us, that his word must be central in our daily family life. So fathers, men, we need to take this seriously. You know, we all need to take it seriously, don't we? And we all need to take responsibility. all of our time that we're given, all of our talents, all of our resources are a loan from Almighty God. And he will keep us accountable for how we use them. In our church, serving here, giving, being used by God in loving service back to him. And as we see today, we need to take daily responsibility for our family life. You know, in these verses, we see God's wisdom. The most important way we can see our wife flourish, see our children become like these vigorous young olive trees, to see our family really grow and become secure in their faith in Christ, is that we need to be able to model it. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, back to the NIV, it says, "These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts." They need to be deeply rooted in our own heart in order to lead our families. You know, we cannot pass down what we don't have ourselves. And our wives and children must see that God's word, again, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they need to see it truly transforming us, making us more like Christ, slowly but surely. They have to see it in our reactions, in our words, in our integrity, in our relationships. You know, we need to spend time in God's word, spend time in prayer. And fathers, our wife and our children need to know we have a time of reading God's word and in prayer. You know, a father's, their genuine relationship with God, it really is, it's a powerful example. It's a powerful visual aid for them. And, you know, here's a practical example where we can demonstrate this transformed life. Just being honest with you this morning, it's an area that I certainly need to keep working on, and I'm sure I'm not the only one here this morning. And that is that when we make a mistake, we need to be willing to apologize, don't we? Apologize to your wife in front of your kids even. Apologize to your kids directly. Show them what it looks like to take responsibility, to fess up to your bad actions, your mistakes. Show them what it looks like to have a repentant heart that seeks forgiveness. And be quick to offer forgiveness when someone else makes a mistake. And we need to remember, again, this wisdom is for all of us, isn't it? Not just if you have kids at home. We need to make this our lifestyle in every way that we can. In your various relationships. No, we need to talk about God when we are at home. Or find a mealtime with someone and sit down and talk about God's word. Talk about the day and point out God's blessings. Talk about how he spoke to you. How he used you in different situations. You know, use that time to make God the center of the conversation. Seeing how God was there throughout the day. And again, it can be the same with all of our different experiences, can it? At breakfast time or dinner time, maybe before bed, even driving in your car or while you're heading off to the football game. It doesn't really matter. Use the time to think about how God has created everything. Given us talents and he's given us abilities and how they are to be used for his glory. And we also need to reflect every day on the sinfulness of this world and remember that we are sinners too, but we're saved by God's grace. You know, speaking of making God the center of your day and of your conversations, so I think it was about a month ago, my youngest son, Samuel, he's just about to finish grade 7. And I have to say, this really has been a challenging year. You know, the stuff kids have to deal with in public school these days, really there is no end to discussion in our home about what's being taught, how we need God to give us as parents, to give Samuel. We need God's wisdom and we need his discernment. So I remember this day, like I say, about a month ago or so, Sam called me from school and he was concerned about some particular thing that was happening there. I won't get into the details here this morning, but I remember that we started chatting about it and talking about what he should do, you know, how best he could deal with it, what he could say to his teacher. And then in the end, I'll never forget what he says to me. He says, "Well, Dad, I'm just going to pray about it and ask God to help me and to help my teacher." You know, I praise God for how he handled that, putting God at the center of that conversation. You know, and another thing, as Moses points out here, we need constant reminders, don't we? Moses says, repeat them again and again. I'm sure he could have said that multiple times. He says we need to use all we can to be reminded of God's ways, what he has done for us. That's what Pastor Allen does every week, doesn't he? He reminds us how we love to go our own way. But we need to do this 180 and turn around and follow Christ. It's so easy to slip back from striving for the narrow gate. And we need to press on and use all the tools that we have at our disposal to help us. And you know, this is why I love our habits group. These groups of men or women who read the Bible together on a daily basis using technology. You know, even a number of our youth and young adults are involved with this. This is just simply another tool to help each other stay in the habit and especially encourage each other daily on this journey. You know, I tell people all the time involved or thinking about it that, you know, being in these groups, yes, it is about to help get our habit into place daily. But really, on top of that, it's a blessing to be part of this and really be an example to others who may be struggling. We are part of this so God can use us to be an encouragement to someone else. Like Hebrews 10:24 says, we are helping to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You know, fathers, this is your role in your home, to be this faithful example to your wife and to your children, to spur them on in their walk with Christ every single day. And again, this is all of our responsibility, isn't it? This is our church family. Paul says in Philippians 2, he reminds us that we shouldn't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourselves. And don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others as well, that you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. You know, this really is the calling for us as Christians. And again, this morning, especially fathers. And let me tell you, I am reminding myself here this morning. The Apostle Paul, he calls the local church the household of God in 1 Timothy 3. You know, this church family, it's our responsibility. It's my responsibility. You know, look around you. If you call church, Cross Church, your home, these are your brothers and sisters here this morning, whether you like it or not. These are the people that God has called you to care for, to help encourage, to help press on along this narrow road. And in the book of Titus, chapter 2, you know, we find some great wisdom, some great advice for older men and women and younger ones as well. Paul says older men need to model the fear of the Lord. He says they need to help and teach the younger men. You know, I know there are younger fathers in this congregation, and some of them may be struggling to raise their young olive shoots, their children. And they need your wisdom. They need to hear how you walked with God through challenges raising your children in your lifetime. They need your encouragement. They need your prayers. I know some are maybe struggling in their marriages. So let's pray for each other and offer love and support. You know, we just had a couples night this past week, right? Well, you know, you can have a couples night anytime. And why not use that time to be an encouragement to another couple, maybe a younger couple? And also, if you're struggling here this morning, reach out. This is truly a loving group of people around you. Ask for help if you need. We are a family. You know, back to verse 4 here again. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. So fatherhood, being a Christian man in this world, again, it's a very high and it's a heavy responsibility. To truly fear the Lord, to daily learn and grow in our faith, to develop our personal relationship with Christ, and then to live it out. It's not an easy task. To never forget of our own sinfulness, to come to the Lord asking for His forgiveness, you know, day after day, sometimes hour after hour, and to take on the responsibility as a married man to carry for and lead our wives as godly men, to disciple our kids as God-fearing fathers, to lead them through life's trials, to remind them to keep their eyes on Christ, and then to remember to also care for and to guard our church family as a whole. Wow, this is an impossible task to do in our own strength. If we try to achieve this in our own willpower, we will either become a harsh, legalistic tyrant, or, you know, we're going to get crushed from the weight of it all. But praise God, there is a source of strength so much greater than ours, isn't there? We are on the side of the one, the only one who lived a perfect life, Jesus Christ. We are on the Lord's side. Amen? Jesus perfectly feared the Father. He perfectly understood God's holiness. And yet, knowing our lost and ruined state as sinners, He willingly went to the cross. He could be forgiven, that we could be redeemed, that we could be transformed. And as His children, our capability to lead does not come from our own perfection, but truly it comes from His power working within us. And when we fail, you know, we don't hide. We repent. We admit our mistakes. We look to the cross and we step back into this fight one more time with His power. And we help to pick each other up and encourage each other to keep pressing on. So this morning, fathers, husbands, there is no greater honor, no greater success, no greater legacy for a Christian husband, for a Christian father, than to lead his wife, lead his children, and lead his church under the fear of a holy, perfect God. You know, this message is clearly for all of us this morning as Christians, as part of the family of God. But today on Father's Day, this message is clearly pointing at us. So fathers, husbands, men, let's run this race in the strength of our Almighty God. Run the race side by side, and let each and every one of us take seriously this responsibility of the calling to lead our wives, lead our children, lead our families well, and to lead our church well in the fear of the Lord. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand together as I close us in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, You are holy. You are perfect in all Your ways. And You alone know what is best for us. And this morning we confess that we are sinners who would be completely lost without the life death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. So forgive us for the times we have lacked a true reverent fear of you, Lord. Forgive us for our spiritual laziness in our homes and in your church. Fill us with your Holy Spirit today, we pray. Give us the courage to support our wives, the ability to teach and disciple our children, and to take on the responsibility to lead our church and to care for our brothers and sisters in the family of God, that we would get involved and serve and be used by you, Lord. You know, we are so grateful for the incredible legacy of this church, thinking 70 years serving you faithfully here in Northwest Winnipeg and even reaching to far places around the world. And Lord, what a blessing to see the next generation that is coming up, to see them growing in their faith, that you're helping prepare them to carry on their responsibility as your representatives in this world. We pray, encourage them, Lord, strengthen them to be found faithful. And now I pray you'll go with each and every one of us. Bless every father and father figure. Help them to know how much we love them and appreciate them. And give them and give all of us once again the strength to follow you, to fear you, and to be used by you to shine your light in this world that so desperately needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And I pray this in the mighty and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.